Good evening. It is my privilege to speak at your congregation. I love you so much. I drove 8 hours from my home in Taylor, Michigan, and I just arrived a few minutes ago, and this is the first time I ever do it. The materials that we will be talking about are called Islam in Christ's Eyes, and the purpose behind that is to educate America about Islam, and to equip the brothers and sisters in Christ to show their Muslim neighbors the love of Christ before you show them the truth of the gospel. I have been proudly supported by you when I was a student at Sunset International Bible Institute. And now I have been ordained as the school's adjunct assistant dean for the Arabic studies. My ministry, the Arab Christian Ministry, is both global and local. Locally, I work with the Sunset Church of Christ in Taylor, Michigan, preaching the gospel mostly among the Arab and Muslim population in the neighboring Dearborn, Michigan. And globally, I work with my alma mater, with SIBI. My ministry tells Muslims about Christ and tells Christians about Islam. The materials that I will be presenting part of today and tomorrow, Lord willing, are part of, like we said, Islam in Christ's Eyes, which is being published now by SIBI. And that would be the first book that was ever written by a Christian minister who is a convert from Islam. If you are interested, just wait for that book to be published probably in weeks, not months. They are already done with the proofreading part. Because of my work, I have been traveling a lot, and I have been sharing my updates with your congregation through my newsletter. And in all my travels, I've been so far to over 100 congregations in over 27 states, plus 4 universities, plus 1 institute. I met so many family members of people who either converted to Islam or are considering conversion to Islam. And I can tell you that all those families had at least one of two things in common. First, a deliberate ignorance of the religion of Islam. To be unfamiliar with Islam is one thing. To deliberately circulate what is inaccurate or false about the Islamic faith is not part of the solution. It has been a part of the problem because it has compromised our credibility as truth-seeking Christians. Whatever we say about religion has unfortunately been influenced by the political scene around us. And that is not us. This is not what the Christian faith is all about. And so, ignorance about the religion of Islam. The second thing is an unhealthy, immature, unchristian attitude toward the Muslim people. The scripture of Islam, the Quran, is known to be a violent scripture. It is inaccurate, it is wrong to consider Muslims accountable to what Muhammad said or did or taught, because most Muslims did not choose the religion of Islam. A religion, by definition, is a conviction, a faith that people should choose. And you know that this is not usually how it happens. Some historical and social factors have impacted whole communities and nations and imposed on them a certain religion. For example, not everybody in Ireland studied and concluded that Catholicism is the true religion. Not everybody in Armenia studied and concluded that the Orthodox Church is the true church. Not everybody in Saudi Arabia concluded or reasoned their way into Sunni Islam. Not everybody in Iran studied their way into Shiite Islam. People are just born to communities that are traditionally a certain denomination of the Christian faith or Islam, and as they grow up, they develop that attitude of the confirmation bias. They come to terms with the fact that they're, well, Catholics or Muslims or Orthodox, and there is nothing they can do about that. That's who they are. And they start to use every argument to like in a deductive way to support their faith. And that exactly is the situation with Islam. Muslims believe that they are born into Islam. They think that Islam is their ethnicity, although Islam never claimed to be an ethnicity. Islam claims to be a religion. And like Christianity, Islam seeks to make more converts into its faith. And that's the reason why I started this ministry. to educate people about the basics of the Islamic faith in our effort to both share the gospel with Muslims and tell our family members why we should not be Muslims. On the other hand, to develop a healthy and a Christian and a loving attitude toward the Muslim people, which I understand with you not having any Muslim family member that I can see now in front of me, I understand that this is not going to be easy. But hopefully by the end of these classes, especially today in today's class, by the end of four We Do Not Wrestle class, we will see why it is important for us to go against what we naturally tend to and develop actually a saving love toward our Muslim friends and neighbors. In short, everything that I will be teaching is summarized in 3 points. Islam, the religion, is false. Islam, the religion, is bad. Muslims, the people, are good. Islam is false because it claims to be from God, but fails to prove it. Islam is bad mainly for 2 reasons. First, because it promotes violence to spread its faith. And second, because it gives its followers a false sense of security that they are right with God while it takes them away from God. Muslim people are good just like us. They are created after God's own image. And that's the way we should approach them, separate the religion from the people. Simply because the Islamic religion is bad does not mean that the Muslim people are bad. Simply because the Bible is holy does not mean that all the 2 billion registered Christians around the world are living a holy life, have obeyed the gospel, are glorifying God in their lives, and so forth. People are not necessarily representatives of their faith. Our last class will deal with tips and tricks about sharing the gospel with your Muslim neighbor. And I will be talking about my ministry that has been supported by your congregation, the Arab Christian Ministry. In order for us to preach the gospel to Muslims, we must know what Islam is all about, the theology of Islam. And in order for us to know the theology of Islam, we must know the history of Islam, how things ended up giving birth to what we know today as the religion of Islam. I will be talking in three very short classes about that, and we will cover as much as we can cover, and we will be open to questions and comments. So the first class is about the history of Islam. Unlike any other class or lesson about the history of Islam that you have ever seen or heard, this one is unique. Because usually the lessons that talk about the history of Islam study the life of Muhammad and the history of the early Muslims. Tonight, we will study the history of Islam from the time before Muhammad was born. Did you know that Jesus Christ himself, when he was alive in the flesh, walking on this earth, 7 centuries before Muhammad was born, challenged the Muslim belief about him? Did you know that those people who gave birth to the spiritual forefathers of Islam are mentioned in the Bible? And did you know that the Bible has at least 3 references to the origins of Islam? There is a prophetic beginning in the Bible. The Bible prophesied about Islam. There is an eschatological beginning of Islam that is mentioned in the Bible. Eschatology is a fancy word that studies the end of the Jewish age and the beginning of the eternal church age. And there is a doctrinal beginning of Islam. Whatever Islam teaches is actually referred to somewhere in the Bible. Amos says in his book, in chapter 3 and verse 7, "Surely the Lord God does nothing without revealing his secrets to his servants, the prophets." And for this class, I will be using an illustration, a short story that was written by one of my favorite authors called Ray Bradbury. That short story that was written in the early 1950s is one of the most influential science fiction pieces of literature. And in that story, a man goes to a Chicago-based time travel company, pays them $10,000 to go back in time and hunt dinosaurs.
The company tells him what would be the rule for every time travel book or movie that we have ever seen after it. Do not mess with the delicate balance of the past. Do not change anything and the system of the past, because the slightest thing that you do would drastically alter the outcome of the future, not in a good way usually. The man travels to the past. The company even provides him with a metal path to walk on so that he would not even step on the ground of the past. The man sees the dinosaur. He panics. He steps out of the metal path on a golden butterfly and kills it. On his way back to the future, he finds out that dinosaurs were still alive. And hence the expression, the butterfly effect. The smallest change that you would do to a delicate system would radically change the outcome of that system. You know, the Bible tells us that God had a plan to redeem us to himself through the person and the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And we read that the Bible said that God has purposed that plan from before the foundation of the world. And that plan was fulfilled. However, we read in the Bible that some people made small mistakes, stepped on a few golden butterflies, if you will, that caused God's original plan to be skewed off into an alternate direction, giving birth or preparing the ground for what we know today as the religion of Islam. We will be studying seven of those instances, as many as the seven red arrows in this slide. The first instance, the first golden butterfly, the first small mistake that eventually gave birth to Islam is the lack of faith in God's command and warning to Adam and Eve all the way back in the Garden of Eden. What does that have to do with Islam? Imagine the scene. A perfect world. God said that he created everything and it was exceedingly good. No death, no suffering, no pain. Only one rule. Do not press the red button. Imagine Adam and Eve thinking, I wonder what would happen if I press that red button. And the rest is history. The Bible says that we abused our freedom of choice and we chose to sin, and that sin caused us to be lethally separated from God. Isaiah says in chapter 59 and verses 1 and 2 of his book, your iniquities have separated you from your Lord. Folks, every time we pray, we talk with God, we sometimes take for granted that we are now children of the new covenant, and with the blood of Jesus Christ, we have the permission to approach God's throne. It has not always been the case. You would not get anywhere near God before the work of Jesus Christ. You would die if you enter the Holy of Holies, for example. You would die if you touch the Ark of the Covenant, if you look into the Ark of the Covenant. Those who saw the angel of the Lord said, woe are us, we are dead, we have seen God. God told Moses, no one sees me and lives.